Philippians 4 is where we'll begin tonight. Philippians 4 is a passage actually that our family has looked at some this week, and quite honestly, I just thought I'm going to double dip and I'm going to preach to the church, share with the church what our family has talked about. And so if my kids' eyes light up, that's a good thing. My kids look at me kind of quizzically. Then it's probably good that we're repeating. But Philippians 4 is a passage that we've sought to commit to memory. And I'm going to start reading in verse 10. Many of you know this passage of Scripture, and you know that here at the end of Philippians, Paul is thankful for how they have participated. They've partnered. They've actually fellowshipped with him, not around fried chicken, as we've talked about before, but they've fellowshipped with him by sending him money. And therefore, they've been partners with Paul in his missionary work. And so he says this in verse 10. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now, at length, you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. I just want to go back to verses 11 and 12 and 13, and get us into the school mode. I have been in school these past 3 days. Now, none of the kids have been in school, but I've been in school. I hope that many of you have been in a different kind of school with me these last 3 days, and that is the school of contentment. Paul says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Paul is very happy that they're sending him money, but he's more happy they're sending him money because of what it does for them than what it does for him. He says that down in verses 14 and following, because he finds himself in a place of contentment because of something he's learned in the past. And that is that in whatever situation he is in, he is to be content. He knows how to be brought low, how to abound in any and every circumstance. He has learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. Actually, I took a little bit of time, even on Tuesday, at our MCS praise service, to talk just a little bit about this. We all understand the learning process. We've been through it. Some of us got to go through it a couple extra times, right? Some of us didn't learn it right the first time, or whatever. Some of us... they said no more, and so we got more. We understand that as we learn, it's not just a straight line up. It's a you learn it, you kind of forget it, you come back, you learn it, forget it, you learn it, forget it. And if we just think about reading, most everyone here who is in first grade on up can read, but not everyone who's 6 years old and older reads the same way or reads at the same comprehension level. When you're young, you learn your letters, and then you put those together, and you make sounds, and you put the sounds together, and you make words. And then once you start reading words, then the teachers want you to do something crazy and understand what you just read, right? Isn't it enough to be able to pronounce the words? But we understand, obviously, that that merely knowing the words on the page is not enough if you don't know the meaning of the words. And so they start with small sentences and comprehending the meaning of those sentences. And as we progress through school, we start to understand and comprehend paragraphs. And then it's up to pages and then chapters and then whole books. Mrs. Wack's not here, so I probably can't say too much about Mrs. Wack. But she really makes them work on their reading. Almost makes you not want to know how to read once you get to Mrs. Wack's class. And then you come back from your first semester of college, and you're so thankful for Mrs. Wack making you read like she did. You've learned because you didn't know naturally. And the very fact of the matter is that none of us come out of the womb knowing contentment. Sad to say, some folks never learn contentment. But God wants to teach us contentment. And it's something we have to learn. So I wonder this week, as you focused on contentment, what you've learned. I read something humorous this week about Black Friday. Black Friday. Because only in America, people trample others for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have. Isn't that good? That's great. That's great. That might have been on one of your Facebook pages. I don't know. That's where I saw it. There's so much collective ignorance on Facebook. But there's a couple gems of wisdom out there, too. Because only in America, people trample others for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have. That would be a lesson not quite learned, wouldn't it? I trust that we, like Paul, have learned that lesson. You know, we have our Savior as a prime example of this, of facing a plenty and hunger, of facing abundance and need. Just go back to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, we are told not just we have Jesus as our example, but in fact, we are to adopt Jesus' mindset of radical contentment, faced in radically different circumstances. Verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Have this mind, which is yours. Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. We can look at plenty and hunger, abundance and need, and we can look simply at the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 6 gives us one of those sneak peeks into the throne room of the triune God. Isaiah 6, the angels hover, fly, and shout, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." We go into the book of Revelation and we see there the crucified, resurrected Christ honored. And we get this sense of Jesus in his natural environment, high and lifted up and deserving every single a syllable of praise that perfect angels can give to him. And then we see a little baby stuck out back of an inn in a little town called Bethlehem, probably put into a manger, bedded down with straw, dust and dirt, something that we would, we couldn't imagine that in our day and time. In our country. And you get the extremes. And we move further. And so those are Jesus' humble beginnings. But it's really, I mean, it's a rags to riches story, right? I mean, Jesus, as he grows up, things get better for Jesus, right? Well, no. Jesus is walking our earth and he is teaching and he has disciples and he has a gathering. And a very interested individual wants to follow him. And what does Jesus say? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. The Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. He knows abundance and he knows need. And we're to have this mind. He's content with the whole thing. Now you might look at me and say, well, that's Jesus. Which is a very Christian way of saying, that's impossible.
Right.
That's Jesus. What about Paul? What about Paul? Paul having the opportunity to glimpse into what he calls the third heaven. What is the third heaven? Where is the third heaven? The phrasing Paul uses there in 2 Corinthians is meant for us to understand that Paul got a glimpse into something that he feels totally unworthy of seeing. It is that area of heaven that is just beyond his comprehension of ever having a glimpse of. And so he is thankful for that. He's humbled by that. But this is the same Apostle Paul who is then stuck in a prison. And the Philippians know about that whole prison thing, don't they? Because it happened in their city. And he's stuck in prison, and what does he do? Well, he and Silas get together, and they start to write a letter to the governor of the area because they're Roman citizens and they're in a Roman colony in Philippi, and they write this letter about their rights and how they were abused. And obviously, you're looking at me like, that's dumb. That's not what they did. You know what they did in Philippi. They sang in the jail in Philippi. Because Paul had learned in whatever situation he was to be content. Why should a guy who got to see the third heaven have to spend time in jail? Because both Jesus and Paul knew what it was to do what Janine sang about, that it is to be still and to put that trust in the Father. Jesus said that he had entrusted his soul to the Father. He had this perfect relationship with him. Paul lives for us the exact same thing. So this weekend, did you learn something more about contentment? Not just the contentment of having little, but the contentment of having much. What did they ask the man one time? How much is enough money? Just $1 more, right? They ask a rich man that question, as a matter of fact, as the story goes. The contentment of having plenty, the contentment of having less than you think you should. What lesson did you learn this week? It's the lesson the Lord taught you in his providence and in his sovereignty and his circumstances. I hope that that lesson sticks with you. Don't waste this past Thanksgiving. Don't waste the opportunity to be reminded of God's goodness, whether it is in your abundance or whether it is in your need. Perhaps you'll take some time even to share that with us tonight.